Genesis chapter 1, hear now the word of our Lord. In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth became without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, Let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. The evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, Let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament. And it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, Let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. And God said, Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth. And it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day, the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and to rule over the day and over the night, and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And God said, Let the waters bring forth abundantly the moving creature that hath life, and fowl that may fly above the earth in the open firmament of heaven. And God created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw it was good. And God blessed them, saying, Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters and the seas, and let fowl multiply in the earth. And the evening and the morning were the fifth day. And God said, Let the earth bring forth the living creature after his kind, cattle and creeping thing, and beast of the earth after his kind. And it was so. And God made the beasts of the earth after his kind, and cattle after their kind, and everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God said, Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, Behold, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed. To you it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat. And it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Amen.
Good morning. I want to talk to you this morning on the subject of creationism and the 6 days of reconstruction. And if you thought last week's lesson was difficult, fasten your seat belts. because this is going to be a little bit more trying, I think, than even last week. But it's a subject that is important, especially to those youth who are in school or are faced with the fact that evolution is the only opportunity they're given to understand how the world came to be. I think it's important for all of us, of course, to understand what the Scripture actually says with regard to this. Now, when trying to understand things of the Scripture, it is always best to stay within the internal evidence of the inspired Scripture itself. There you find yourself on safe ground. Other information that you may have is always secondary and subject to needing to be aligned with Scripture to determine if, in fact, it is true. Things like historical writings, men like Josephus, who provided us with a great deal of information as one of the earliest historians known, and what he's given us lots of times provides information that kind of flows between the lines sometimes of Scripture, but it's still important to weigh those historians and their writings against what the Scriptures actually say. The same thing is true with great commentaries of the world. There's a lot of intelligent scholars over the years that have taken a look at Scripture, and I'm grateful to them because I've always said that what we learn often comes from the lips of others with regard to Scripture because they've spent a lifetime in studying. But still, we have to stick with what the Scripture actually says internally. This is true of archaeological findings. Sometimes they verify and fortify what we know about Scripture. Sometimes they tell us maybe something that Scripture does not tell us. But we have to always look at it with a discerning eye. That's true also of the geologist. They know a great deal about the earth and how it was formed. But just as an example, turn to Isaiah 34. It's page 973 in the Companion Bible. Isaiah, the 34th chapter. Isaiah chapter 34, page 973. And we'll just jump in here in the middle of it because I don't want to spend a lot of time building up to this, but jump in at verse number 11 where it says, "But the cormorant and the bittern shall possess it, the owl also and the raven shall dwell in it, and he shall stretch out upon it the line of confusion and the stones of emptiness." The line of confusion and the stones of emptiness. This gives you, I think, an insight into the fact that God has laid out a line within the ages, and the rocks and the stones give us some information, but basically they're empty with regard to what God's plan and purpose is. That's not to say that we don't pay attention, because I think lots of times what science learns and the geologists learn does actually fit with Scripture. But the line of confusion actually means a line of desolation, a line of astonishment. We come to a certain point, we can see so much, but we can't go beyond because the stones are empty. If the geologists ever settle how many years they are required to have, of course, we know that those years will fit between Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, and verse 2. So this morning, I want to try to stick as closely as possible to what the internal evidence is in Scripture with regard to the chapter that Dave read, Genesis chapter 1. Since we're already in the book of Isaiah, if you will, turn over to the 45th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 45. Go down to verse 18. "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, He hath established it. He created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Now, I want you to focus on the phrase there, not in vain, he formed it. The Hebrew word for vain is tuhu. For those of you that want to look it up in the Hebrew lexicon, it's word number 8414. Tuhu, or vain, has the meanings of an empty place, waste, worthlessness, desolate, nothingness, or naught. It refers to a desert. It is vain. He created it here, according to this verse, none of these things. He didn't create it an empty place. He didn't create it as wasteland. He didn't create it worthless or desolate. He did not create it vain. He created it, as it says here, for habitation. And if you'll go back to Deuteronomy 32:4, which you don't need to turn back there, it says that he is the rock and that he created it perfect. So he did not do this in vain, or it was not in any way an empty place or desolate. Now turn over a few pages to the next book, which is Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4. And we'll go down to verse 23. And here's Jeremiah speaking. He says, I beheld the earth, and lo, it was without form and void, and the heavens, and they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and lo, they trembled, and all the hills moved lightly. I beheld, and lo, there was no man. All the birds of the heavens were fled. I want you to take a look at the phrase there, was without form. It didn't have anything but desolate. It was without form and void. It's the same exact word that is used in the Isaiah verse that we looked at in Isaiah 45. Except that it says here, it was empty. It was wasteland. It was worthless. It was desolate. No light. It was vain. Here we find two of the 1,531 references in Scripture to the Pentateuch. Now, the Pentateuch is the first five books of Scripture. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. That's the Pentateuch. Throughout Scripture, there's 1,531 references to those books. And these are two of them. And they are diametrically opposed to one another. My question is, how do you reconcile this in your mind? Are there errors in God's Word? What if an atheist charged you with this? How would you answer him? Here's two things that cannot be. They cannot both be the same. The earth cannot be created perfect, and yet the other one says that it was didn't have any form and was void. How do you answer that? If the Scripture is correct, there's got to be some answer for it. And so this morning I want to look, search, and see if we can come to some conclusion with regard to this. If you will notice back in Genesis chapter 1 that Dave read, go back to Genesis chapter 1. In verse 1, in the beginning, God created. Now, That word created is bara. And it equals to create. Bara. It means to come into being as something unique that would not evolve by ordinary process. It means to make something of nothing. The second word that I want to focus on in that chapter is the word asah. A-S-A-H. And that word means to make, as opposed to create. It means to labor or make from something, or to perform, or to fashion. It's not making something out of nothing. It's making something out of something, to make. Now notice the use of these two words in Genesis chapter 1. Created is used only in the first verse, and it's used only again in verse 21 and verse 27 when it is referred to man and to beasts. Everything else God made. He created the heavens and the earth. And then it says he made, he said, he moved, he did. But he only created in verse 1 and created when he made man and beast. And this carries through, by the way, to the rest of chapter 2. For example, look at verse 1 in chapter 2. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the host of them. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And so you see this distinguishing difference through these chapters in Genesis between that which was created and that which was made. Isaiah 45 that we looked at and Jeremiah 4 are both correct. They refer to separate events. They're not, Isaiah and Jeremiah are not talking about the same thing. They're talking about two different things. And there's a sequence of events. And I want to put them up here on the board for you. The first one we will describe as the original creation. That is what we find in Genesis chapter 1. Dave read that. Genesis 1, 1. And that also is what Isaiah was referring to. Isaiah 45, 18 is in reference to this original creation. The next chain of events, the next sequence of events after that is Satan sins. Turn over to Isaiah chapter 14, page 949. Isaiah chapter 14. And we'll start with verse 10. All they shall speak and say unto thee, art thou also become weak as we? Art thou become like unto us? Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy voils, the worm is spread under thee, and the worms over thee. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the high heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms, that made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof, that opened not the house of the prisoners? All the kings of the nations, even all them, lie in glory, every one in his own house. But thou art cast out of thy grave like an abominable branch, and as the raiment of those that are slain, thrust through with a sword, that go down to the stones of the pit as a carcass trodden under feet. There's other places in Scripture that describe this. We see it in Ezekiel chapter 28. Satan, sin was found in Satan while he was in the holy place, while he was in heaven. He wanted to be, he said, I will be God. And so the results of that provide the next sequence, which is a cataclysmic event. And we see that in different places in Scripture, and one of the most difficult to understand is in the book of Jude. If you'll turn over to the book of Jude, that's the last book before Revelation. Jude, and then the end, Revelation. Jude, there's only one chapter, so we'll go to verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these sayings, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. If you'll notice, if you're using the Companion Bible, that it says there in verse 14 where it says, Behold, the Lord cometh. And it says, the Lord came. Literally, it says, the Lord came. The verse does not refer forward to Revelation, as is usually taught, but backwards to Genesis and Deuteronomy. It refers back to Enoch and when Enoch was. Enoch was a character of Genesis, not of Revelation. And you can read in Deuteronomy 33:2 where he came with holy ones. He came with angels. He came with saints and caused this catastrophic event that was really set off by Satan. Here the Lord has executed judgment resulting in this cataclysmic event, which is described in the Hebrew as a katabole or something devastating. And it happened between verse 1 and verse 2 of Genesis. It happened after he created, after verse 1, this cataclysmic event happened. Christ speaks of this in Luke, the 10th chapter. If you'll look at Luke chapter 10. Matthew, Mark, Luke, chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verse 18. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Here the Lord Jesus Christ, in his pre-incarnate form, saw this event that we read about in Jude and we read back in Deuteronomy. And I'm going to quote verbatim here from Paul Gable with regard to this. This word beheld here, quote, "The Greek grammar for beheld is in the imperfect tense and is used in the indicative mood and refers to continuous or linear action in past time. It is not a future event. What Christ beheld and saw was Satan falling way back." What Enoch was talking about in Jude is an event that already occurred. It was Satan's fall. And it happened between or after verse Genesis 1:1. So the next sequence of event then is reconstruction. In Genesis 1:2, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep as a result of Satan. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." And here we have, from this point on, the use of made. And this is what Jeremiah was referring to. Isaiah was referring to the first verse. Jeremiah was referring to those verses through Genesis chapter 1 that Dave read that are with regard to the reconstruction of what was ruined by the fall of Satan and those angels that left with him. Now I want to point out something as to how precise Scripture actually is. If you'll go back to what we were looking at in Isaiah, go back to the 45th chapter of Isaiah. That was page 989. Isaiah chapter 45. And we're going to go back to the same verse that we read before. "For thus saith the Lord that created the heavens," God Himself, "that formed the earth." Now that is not a sar, as we had on the board here. It is yatsar. And it means to form, to mold, to frame, to straighten, to narrow. "For thus the Lord God that created the heavens, God Himself that formed the earth and made it a sar, He hath established it, He created it not in vain, He formed it to be inhabited, and I am the Lord, and there is none else." In that verse, in that one verse, it is so precise in the words that are used that you can see the difference between Genesis chapter 1 that Isaiah was speaking about and what Jeremiah was speaking about that occurred from verse 2 where everything was made. Create is from nothing, and make is to take something and remake it. And that's what the Lord did in the reconstruction that takes place in the first chapter of Genesis. We see this, there is what I would say is confirmation then. The next sequence of events would be confirmation. Confirmation, if you'll turn to Exodus, chapter 20. Genesis, Exodus, chapter 20. And like I say, Scripture is so precise that you have to really pay attention to what's going on. And sometimes you can't get to it in English, but most of the time you can. And here is a good example. In Exodus chapter 20, verse 11, "For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that was in them, the rest of the seventh day." That "made" is a sar. The six-day creation was made. It was a result of katabole, a catastrophic event. We see it also in 2 Peter 3:5 and 6. If you go back to look at 2 Peter, page 1868. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. Now, he's speaking here of scoffers walking after their own lust. In verse 5, "For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." Now, there's controversy as whether this refers to Noah's flood or whether it refers to this event that occurs in Genesis. But I think if you will go back and look, Noah's flood is referred to in Peter, in 1 Peter. This is referring to that event where the world that then was perished, that God created. It perished, and he then recreated it afterwards. God's word is actually so perfect, and the more you look at it, the more you figure out these things. This, I think, is astounding. It answers all the questions of evolution and the age of the earth and so forth. There's hundreds of thousands or millions of years between verse 1 and verse 2 of Scripture. And I hope this gives you a little background. It's a subject that you should pick up and study on your own. There's a lot of good help here in the back in some of the reference books. But I hope I've given you a general idea of what has occurred here in Genesis chapter 1. Let's pray. Father, we thank you again for the opportunity to delve in and study your word. We pray that you would continue to give us understanding, open our hearts and minds to the truths that you have here for us. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.